Turn now to God's word. Let us first pray. Our Father in heaven, we come as those who acknowledge that we need your grace for you to open our eyes to see your word, for us, O Lord, to hear it properly, for us, O Lord, to receive it into our hearts and to be changed by it. We acknowledge, O Lord, that him who preaches needs that grace as well. Grant unto us all here this afternoon that grace needed to properly proclaim the word and properly receive it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 107. I will read the psalm in its entirety. Our focus this afternoon is on verse 43. Whoever is wise will observe these things. They will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Hear then the reading of God's word. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he has broken the gates of bronze, and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep, for he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again into the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that the waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, and he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, and for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into a pool of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low, through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high and far from affliction and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, you may have noticed that this is the last Sunday of the year 2025. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we will be all in 2026. And in these days leading up to January the 1st, it's good that we contemplate what has taken place in the 2025 and imagine 2026. 2025 has been a year in which there have been many upsets in regards to the political system. I mean, we've had an election here in Canada in which Prime Minister Carney has been elected. And then in the States, we've had President Trump elected again. And we've also been experiencing life under tariffs, and it has affected us economically. And some have lost their jobs, and they will look, the economy of Canada looks like it'll still be affected. But not just our economy will be affected in 2026 still, but all world economies. Wars continue unresolved as political leaders flex military muscle, and people of other nations fight hard to defend their citizens. We know that there's persecution of the Church of Jesus Christ taking place in so many parts of the world. You see that even in Nigeria or in country of India, just to name two places of many. We also have experienced maybe personal struggles, both physical, chronic hurts and pains, as well as maybe relational struggles with family members or people we've worked with or people we have somehow contact with. And certainly we have faced the struggles in 2025 of warring against the world, the flesh, and our evil one, and the evil one. And with thanks to God, we look back on various times that have been enjoyable, pleasant, and growth-inducing. We've received maybe a word of encouragement. Someone spoke to us. That phone call that reminded us that there are people who think about us and care about us. Our daily provision of our physical needs have been met yet for another year. And this might lead us to think of the truth that for all of our days of 2025, they have not been lived in a vacuum. All of our days of 2025 have been lived in the context of God, the Lord being at work. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we are in covenant with the living God. And he is our God, and we are his people. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit continue to make themselves known to us, continues to make himself known to us in his word, and by his working in our lives. This is the point of Psalm 107. It rehearses examples of the Lord God of the covenant working in the lives of his people. The psalmist speaks of the wilderness years and then examples of their lives in Canaan and finally the fact of Israel's exile and return. And having given us these snapshots of God's works, verse 43 calls for a wise response from us and from all of God's people. So we hear then in Psalm 107, verse 45, God speaking to us, and there he calls us to live wisely. He says to us, God's people, live wisely. And what is that wise way of life marked by? It's marked by three things. One is that we observe the works of God. Secondly, we apply the loving kindness of God. And thirdly, we give thanks to God. We observe the works of God, we apply the loving kindness of God, and we give thanks to God. So one thing that verse 43 tells us is that the wise observe, it says the wise observe these things. Children, to observe something means that you pay attention to it. You know, you saw that bug, you observed that bug, but you observe it, you pay attention, here it means to pay attention to it. You take note of it. You don't just glance over it, but you study it. You take real close examination of it. And here, all of us are to look at our lives, paying attention to the movements of God. And Psalm 107 calls us to observe three things. One of the things that we are to observe here is that trials that we face come from God's hand. The trials that we face come from God's hand. Verses 4 and 5 give us the example of Moses leading Israel through the wilderness. It was the Lord who led them into that dry and thirsty place. And verses 23 to 27 give the example of the Israelite sailors. Like Israel, being helpless in the desert, these sailors are helpless on the sea. And just as God allowed Israel to feel their helplessness through a trial of hunger and thirst, so too these sailors were made to feel their weakness by the trial of a storm at sea. Now, we may not be in the wilderness or on the sea, and yet we're just as much in God's hand. Many times he leads us into difficult situations. He allows hardships to come in the settings of our homes or our places of work, or our congregation, or school, or neighborhood. Whatever context we are in, we may face various hardships. Yet it isn't the Lord who is the cause of others sinning against you, nor is he the one who tempts you to settle your difficulties by sinful ways. You know, boys and girls. It isn't him who causes you to fight with your brother or sister because you're getting frustrated with them. All temptation comes from the evil one and from our pull within us to get the things that we desire. Yet all trials come from the Lord. And this is one of the things we must observe. Another thing that we observe is that God is working judgments in his covenant community because of their sins. He works judgment in his covenant community because of their sins. Verses 10 to 12 are an example of Israel being oppressed by foreign nations, as we read of happening again and again in the book of Judges. Verses 17 and 18 give the example of sickness that almost brings someone to death. God inflicted that illness on this Israelite because of their sin. Verses 39 to 40 describe Israel at the time of their exile in Babylon. That time in Babylon was like wandering in the wilderness. Israel had wandered with Moses, unable to live in their promised land of Canaan. And in the same way, Israel in the exile was far from their home. Now, we must not think that every sickness or hard financial time or difficulty in our homes is due to our sin. Nor must we see God's punishment of us behind every problem that we go through as a church. Yet God's wise people do take stock of their lives. The living God does work judgments into our lives. Now, often that takes the form of us being allowed to feel the results of our breaking of his commandments. Whether we are children or teens or adults, all must look at their lives with humility and see what is happening. As an example of sin impacting our lives and the lives of others, let us think about the sin of gossip, a breaking of the ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. When we gossip, when we speak negative things about others without checking the facts, or we tell someone else how another person has wronged us before or instead of going to that person and working things out with that person who wronged us. Or we tell other people things that someone about someone else that this person doesn't need to know, things that are harmful to another person's reputation. Gossip impacts our lives. So here we gossiped, and we find that people are not trusting us so much. They're not entrusting us with their personal information. They stand off from us. They give us only the weather and things about general facts, but nothing personal. And there's a distance that grows between us and them. Certainly, we have ruined the reputation of those we speak about, and people may even start to have ill feelings towards those we have sinfully talked about. Relationships are split apart, all because of our sin of gossip. As you can see by our one example, all sin has a negative effect. It will be felt in our homes, in our schools, in our workplaces, in our church. The wise look at what is going on and ask, is God trying to tell me something about the way that I'm living and speaking? Have I somehow contributed to the pain going on around me? Wise children, teens, and adults don't blame others first. They take stock of their lives because this pain has been allowed by the work of the living God. Let us then pay attention to the discipline of the Lord in our lives. The wise also observe a final thing, and that is the loving kindness of God to his people. The loving kindness of God to his people. The first way that he has displayed his love for us is that he made us a part of his people. It is he who made covenant with you. It is he who brought you to faith in Christ who has come, even as he brought Old Testament believers to faith in Christ who was yet to come. It was nothing in you that made him show love to you. He chose to love you. The wise look at all their experiences of trial and discipline through the glasses of God's loving kindness. They see that the Father is showing love to them in each trial or act of discipline. It was of his mercy that he brought Israel into the wilderness to thirst and the sailors to feel the tempest. For by thirst and tempest, he caused his people to draw near to him and call up to him and upon him for help. It was a blessing to see again another example of the living God, the Lord of heaven, stooping down to help his weak children out of love for them. Also, love was at work, using discipline to bring them away from sin, bring them to repentance, and back into fellowship with the living God. In love, the Lord fed the people, forgave the people, restored the people to fellowship with himself. He relieved the people of their oppressors and made them dwell in the land. Beloved, observe the loving kindness of God the Father in your lives as well. It is he who sent his only begotten Son into the world. And in love, he has brought you to faith through him. Through him, you know the Father as your Father in heaven. Trials and discipline are part of his love shown to you. He provides, he forgives, and blesses you as works of his loving kindness towards you. And by his grace at work in you, you see this going on in your lives. Does this not lead you and I to sing along with John Newton, that famous hymn, Amazing Grace? Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. So we see that of the three things that the Spirit wants us to observe about God's works, God's loving kindness is chiefly focused upon. But what God's wise people do not simply observe the loving kindness of the Lord. They also apply this fact to their lives. This is our second point, applying the loving kindness of God. We hear that call to apply the loving kindness when it says, whoever is wise will observe these things and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. They will understand. The word understand means to consider something. And this is the kind of considering that leads to action. Observing that God is at work in our trials and in our suffering, the consequences of our sin, we see that he is working provision, repentance, restoration, and many other examples of his love to us. And observing this, we consider and apply this fact of his love to our lives. And the psalmist has certain applications in mind. The first is that we cry out to the Lord in the midst of our trials for God to meet our needs. We cry out to the Lord. He hasn't sent the trial to destroy you. He is your Father in heaven who loves you in Christ. He bought us with the precious blood of his Son. Rather than destroy us, he sends trials into our lives for our eternal good. He is out to draw us near us, nearer to himself. We read in James chapter 1, verse 2, that it's the trial of your faith under producing patience. That patience is that steadfast trust in God. He allows us to go through trials to exercise our faith muscles that we might have a greater faith in him and draw closer to him. He has purposed to make us into the image of his Son. We all can quote Romans 8:28, for all things work to the good. But the good is in verse 29. It says, those for he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We are being made into the image of Christ, and he uses trials to scrub us, to form Christ in us. You know, he uses trials even to direct us to the place that he would have us be so as to serve him better. We look in Acts 16. Here's the Apostle Paul preaching, and he's thrown under unjust charges with Silas into the deepest, darkest, dankest part of the prison. Why? That he might be used and Silas might be used as a testimony of God, as God's power comes and shakes that prison and all the cells open, and that he is given entrance into the family of the Philippian jailer, where they hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And also the leaders of the town have to bring out the Paul and Silas as Roman citizens. And so the gospel has been elevated and protected. The Lord used that trial to put the Apostle Paul and Silas the place where he would have them be. And so it is with us. Do you need food or clothing and shelter? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. He says to you and to me, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Of how much more value are you than they? So cry out to the Lord in your need. If our earthly parents, being sinful, can give good gifts, think of how much more the Heavenly Father who loves you is willing to give. Is it that you need grace to persevere under trial? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16 tells us again, as we heard this morning, of that high priest, that sympathetic high priest, Jesus Christ, tempted in all ways like us, yet without sin, and bids us to come with confidence, come boldly to the throne of grace through him, where we will find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Do you need wisdom as to how to apply God's word in the midst of what you're going through? James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8 says, pray for it. Cry up to the Lord. For the Father does not despise or reproaches us for that request, but will generously give. Do you fear this trial is a sign of his not loving you? Remember the words of Romans chapter 8, beginning verse 38 and 39, that nothing in all of creation can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, let us cry out to the Lord. Psalmist also highlighted God's work of discipline. In such times of God pointing out our sins, let us cry out to the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. He has forgiven others. He will forgive you too. We even have great assurances that we will be forgiven, such as 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have Jesus Christ, whose blood gives us a more sure testimony than the blood of sheep and goats. They had to be offered up many times until he came, but his blood, shed once forever, is complete payment of all our sin. Because his sacrifice ended all others, we know it has completely effective cleansing for us as sinners. He also is our high priest, pleads his sacrifice offered for us. The Father who appointed him willingly hears him. He is our defense lawyer who pleads our case. As we come confessing our sins, we will receive mercy from the Lord. Cry out to him is the first application. The second application is shorter, but still very important. The psalmist has in mind what is one that's implied in verse 43. It says, whoever hears this, whoever is wise will observe these things. Here is a call not to live foolishly. It implies that some might not be wise. We behave foolishly when we do not apply God's loving kindness to our lives, children and young people and adults. The most important characteristic that you and I need to have in life is humility. When the Lord points out your breaking of his law, do not fight it. Do not argue with his word or with the person who is pointing out your sin to you. It may hurt your feelings a bit when God uses people to point that out. And yet when we search that pain, we really realize that behind that pain is our pride. Humble yourself as a wise person. Confess your sin to the Lord and to those you've hurt. He will forgive. He says that God opposes proud. He opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Be humble also under trial. Do not grumble against God. Rather, cry out to him for strength and for all that you need. Trust that he is out for your good. Hear our text and apply his loving kindness to your life. Applying God's loving kindness to our lives will lead us to a deeper experience of that love. And God's wise people respond to this love by giving God the Father thanks. And this is our third final point, giving thanks to God. The call to give thanks is implied in our text. Verse 43, you see, isn't just the conclusion, isn't just the last word. It is actually the climax, the highest point of the psalm. In verse 2, he had said that those who God has redeemed from trouble were to declare that God's mercy endures forever. This is a public act of thanks to the Lord. And then after each example of God's redeeming love, the psalmist calls for God's people to join him in giving thanks. And we hear this in verse 8, where it says, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." And then again, verse 15, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." And verse 21, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men." And verse 31 and 32, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders." And then he gives this final example, verse 33 through 42. And we do not hear that call at the end for thanksgiving. It kind of hangs in the air over verse 43 as a hidden command of the psalmist, for the psalmist generation, who are those who have returned from exile in Babylon. They are to give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. Brothers and sisters, younger and older, think today of the loving kindness God the Father has shown you this past week. Think of his loving kindness that he has shown you in the year 2025. Think of his loving kindness that he has shown you in all these years leading up to 2025. Oh, how good he has been to you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast law endures forever. Let this fact fill our hearts this afternoon. And from your heart, through your mouths, give him the sacrifice of praise. Yet the psalmist also calls for thankfulness displayed in our lives. In verse 41 and 42 and all the verses in the psalm that show a life of repentance show this call for a life of thankful obedience. Repentance does not mean simply turning from our sin. It does mean that the person believes in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, having turned from them. However, it is also mean turning to God, unto serving Him in thankfulness. Is He not worthy, who has poured out on you His loving kindness? It certainly is. Then think how in serving Him, you're walking with Him and come to know more the wonderful blessing of fellowship with the living God. Our God is alive. He has been at work in our lives thus far in 2025, is at work in our lives for the remainder of 2025, and will be at work in our lives for 2026. So let us live for Him and walk with Him as a part of His wise people to His glory. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank You that You indeed have spoken to us through Psalm 107, verse 43. O Lord, we pray for Your grace to truly be wise people who observe, O Lord, Your works, who apply Your loving kindness, who are people who are thankful. O Lord, we pray for this in Jesus' name.